Blog Talk Radio.
Only 30 minutes. Only on Sunday. Only 30 minutes. Only on Sunday. Only 30 minutes, only on Sunday. This is your host, T-A-Z. And I have in the house, thank God, because it looked like I was going to be by myself. I got E in the house.
I absolutely love the hand clap of praise.
How you doing, E?
I'm living the dream. How are you?
I'm doing good. Dee Lovely is in a conference, so she didn't think we would be able to hear her. And I was getting ready to say, I'm going Acapulco. I'm going by myself. So, remember
Acapulco.
That song by Stevie Wonder? What was it? And he kept saying, man, Ray playing by himself, man. He playing by himself. I forget the name of the song. It will jump up in my brain all of a sudden. But, yeah, he kept saying, Ray playing by himself, man. So that's the way I felt just a minute ago till I seen your number. I said, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. The first subject I got, Oklahoma reparations, the lawsuit we didn't go over last week.
Reparations?
I wanted to. Them too. The money, the money that reparations, reparations or whatever it is.
Reparations, it's reparations. The reparations in Oklahoma. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I want my money, basically. Run me my money for the wrongs that you've done to me, that you owe to me. The lawsuit originally filed in 2020 by attorneys on behalf of the living Tulsa victims and descendants, cites the city's failure to compensate those wronged at the time of the original attacks, which led to racial and economic disparities prevalent in Tulsa today. After a motion was made to dismiss the suit, Wall ruled against it in a courtroom filled with cheers and tears and joy alike.
Mm-hmm.
Your opinion on this is only three survivors left, Leslie Benningfield Randall, 107, Viola Fletcher, 107, and Hughes Van Ellis, 101. Your opinion on this?
I think they wholeheartedly need to get that money. And just because they're in the sunset of their lives, that money needs will help them, and it's going to create generational wealth, or it could create generational wealth if managed properly. But that is money that's due. And I don't think it's only those three families. I think that everybody we all are still waiting for our 40 acres and a mule. So I'm glad that it started in Oklahoma, and I think that, you know, the courts are dragging their feet, hoping that these people die off, and then they won't have to. But I am totally for everything that's happening in Tulsa right now.
I think descendants of the people that died in that massacre should also get some money.
Sure.
Yeah, because their family members were killed. And was caught up in that same racist tension that went on. They even bombed Tulsa, which makes it even worse. So, I mean, I think all the descendants from that situation should get money. And also, all the blacks that can prove that they had members of their family that were slaves should get that money.
Yes. Correct.
Across America.
And that covers the whole.
Yeah, across America.
Yes, the whole descendants. Yes.
Yeah, because I got some that I met when they were in their like 90s, and they were light skinned with blue eyes, and they were, and you knew it was a slave owner's kids. And I met them in 1973 when I was 13 down in Stone Mountain, Georgia. So yeah, I have some relatives that were slaves. I think as if we all trace our trees and roots back, I think everybody has been touched by someone in their family that was a slave.
From the Jefferson Davis plantation, that's all I got.
I also feel like the Indians on the Trail of Tears, when they were sent to that area, I think in Oklahoma, they should get some money too. Yeah. All the wrongs that's been done to people of color in the United States need some money.
Yes.
Something. I digress. Okay. I degrease. I'm going to the second one. The House passed legislation late Wednesday night that would bolster federal resources to prevent domestic terrorism in response to the racist mass shootings in Buffalo, New York. The 222 to 203 nearly party line vote was the answer to the growing pressure Congress faces to address gun violence and white supremacist attacks. The only Republican that voted for this was Adam Kinzinger. You know who I'm talking about. Kinzinger, the representative from Illinois. He's the only one that voted for it out of the Republicans. 75% of black Americans fear race bias attacks. Your thoughts on this? It's also just opinions and thoughts today.
I just think that what happened in Buffalo was yet another stain on, you know, America's white dress. I feel that this is a stark example of how the police treat people of color and white people. And this child, because he's 18, this child that did this, you know, horrific act still got to be coddled and placed, you know, also gently in the police car. And, you know, meanwhile, Sandra Bland, who got stopped by traffic for a traffic violation, wind up dead. It continues to draw this, you know, line in the sand from infinity or to infinity, how we will continue to be or try to be, you know, obliterated. I think that the Republicans are in bed with the enemy, being the NRA, and all of the white supremacists. I'm sure that they're white supremacists in the Republican Party. I mean, if we reflect back to the David Duke fiasco, we will be able to ascertain that, you know, there's some stinky cheese in Denmark. So I feel that that's not what it's going to take. What it's going to take is us as an entire society, not even party lines, us as a society saying no more. And until, you know, we touched base on this last week, but until they are directly reflected, and I'm not talking about white people getting killed. I'm talking about until they are directly, affected, where somebody is going to, you know, Pennsylvania Avenue and busting up in there and you know, open up the jammy on everybody from the security guard to Congress, that then they will get it. But right now they're still behind that acrylic glass, if you will, that's air quotes for you, that they are part of that untouchable crew, that they really, you know, they can talk about it, but they not being about it. They're not living it. So until that happens, you know, the insurgency was just a scratch on the surface of what it could have been. Yeah, it was ugly and some people died, but it wouldn't be like going into the White House and spraying it. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah, I mean,
and then it would be it would be something else. It would be a whole nother thing. Because if you remember, the congresswoman from, I want to say Arizona, when she got shot or whatever, there were a whole lot of laws being passed against gun violence in Arizona. She was directly was affected as she was, you know, in a position of power where she was going to be like, okay, no more. Like, now it's affecting me, you know, and my personhood, as opposed to that abstract, oh, us as a people or us as a country, you know, because I went into Food Lion today and I was like, look, I got some heat on me. So they can play if they want to. I'm spreading everybody there out and look like me. Okay? Okay. So from you stocking the shelf with some eggs to, you know, asking for the delivery door to be open, don't play with me. You know, because I promise you I'm coming from behind the crime scene tape. But it's a shame that we have to be, or, you know, that we continually have to keep our head on the swivel. Because now nobody's safe. You're not safe in churches. They've attacked us in churches. We're not safe at the grocery store. We're not safe at the gas station. We're not safe driving while black. Like, we're not safe anywhere. And that's just sad.
So you mean to tell me, E, you personally carrying a gat on you when you're doing the church dance in church?
I'm able to protect myself and the rest of the parishioners that are around me. That's all I got to say. I'm not scared.
009E.
Listen,
not
the Lord's going to deliver one of us.
009.
That's all I got. Listen, he's going to deliver one of us, okay? I plan on coming home after church.
According to Moscow officials, Friday's evacuation means a total of 2,439 Ukrainian fighters have now surrendered from the steel plant in recent days. Moscow has released no information about where the soldiers who left on Friday are being evacuated to, but previous buses have been sent to Russian-controlled territories. Do you think they got sent to the slave mines in Russia, these Ukrainian fighters that were upheld in that steel plant?
Or Siberia.
Dang. man. That's why they were fighting to the death. That's why they were like, I ain't trying to leave because we know what's getting ready to happen. Do you think any way that maybe after this war is over, they will exchange them for their people?
Doubtful. If they're alive, I don't know if they're alive. Do you think they're still alive?
Some of them got to be alive now. I mean,
really?
You just ain't going to wipe out 2,000 of them now. Where are they going to put them at?
I think some of them
are now, you know, the ones that was on their way out that was injured, they had to go to the Russian hospitals. Am I correct? They didn't go to Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't go on that side. They went to the Russian ones because they got them out. So some of them that was halfway getting ready to go, they probably helped them along the way. And it's sad to say. Okay. Next one. President Joe Biden on Saturday signed a $40 billion aid packet to Ukraine. A White House official said after the bill was flown to Seoul because the president's went to South Korea, and today I think he's in Japan. The Senate passed it following Biden's departure from Washington. The confirmation that Biden had signed the bill came as the president attended a state dinner with South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol. I don't know how to say his name. I know I jacked it up. Biden signed the aid package off camera earlier Saturday, along with a bill to improve access to baby formula for families in need. The legislation provides money for military and humanitarian aid, including funding to assist Ukraine military and national security forces, help replenish stores of U.S. equipment sent to Ukraine and provide public health and medical support for Ukrainian refugees. We're going to have to keep doing this every 10 months, ain't we? Because they said, I think it said it last 8 months or something like that. Do you think this is going we going to keep on supplying these folks like that?
I don't see how.
Unless they print new money, right?
Correct.
Like they were doing for the PPP, right? That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
printed some new money. I'm just like, can we keep this up? Or do we just have to send some bombers in and finish up the job? Look, we got to end this. I don't understand.
Meanwhile, over America, people are struggling.
Well, I mean, I just want to know. Do you think we're going to keep this up? You don't think so, right? I'm talking to you, E.
I'm sorry?
E, are you there?
Can you hear me?
No, I couldn't hear you. Now I can hear you. Go on. Say something.
No, I just said that, you know, it's people all over America that are struggling, and we constantly printing off money and sending monies to all these other countries and not helping our own people. And it's gonna, I mean, when is when? Who's gonna say, hey, you know, what about us? Or what about the Americans that are struggling? I just, the more you give, the more they're gonna want you to give, because I don't see any end in sight. We're not teaching them how to be self-sufficient. We're teaching them that if they ask us, we're going to continue to come out of our pocket. Those are two different messages. Teach them how to help themselves.
Okay, let me go to the next one. There is no, that's a, for me, it's a hard decision because you don't want the Ukrainians to fail. And you don't want Russia to think they can just bully and take over any country they want and continue to do so.
But
then on the other hand, we can't be the only ones supplying them either.
Exactly. And we've sent billions. We've sent billions over there. But we don't have formula here. Like, that doesn't pass the common sense test, T.
Well, they got, I'm getting ready to get into it, but let me go to the next one. A document variety of folks in Georgia have forged their votes early for the first elections being held on Tuesday, as a number of Trump-backed candidates are in carefully watched contest for governor, the Senate, Secretary of State, and extra. Greater than 600,000 folks have voted to this point in individual in the course of the early voting interval and by absentee mail. The workplace of Brad Raffensperger, Georgia's Secretary of State, mentioned on Thursday. Of these greater than 600,000, over 567,000 voted in individual and 47,500 voted by absentee mail-in ballots. This is a 189% improvement compared to the levels of early voting in 2020. Do you think when the midterms come that folks are going to bum rush the polls in Georgia real hard? Do you think this is the way I think. Let me say mine. I think because you told people what's going to happen if they vote in Georgia and the rules and the new rules and all that, that made people say, well, you still ain't stopping my vote. I don't care if they can't bring me a pot of net bones in line. But damn it, I'm going to vote. Okay, it's on you, E.
I don't know. I am cautious because of there are so many Trump supporters and people that are backed by the Trump organization on the ballot. I'm hoping that we again show up and show out in great numbers. And I'm concerned with what those numbers are looking like, the absentee and mail and ballots, because I don't trust anybody who's affiliated with Trump. And just like he accused us of voter fraud, I know that him and the rest of the Republicans would do it by any means to try to get him reelected. So, you know, there's that.
Well, we're talking about the midterms. Of course, Trump ain't going to get reelected right now.
I'm just saying they're just trying to stack the deck. You know, I know that this is the midterm, but it's all fun and games until it's time to do what we need to do. You know, because a lot of times I'm kind of shocked because a lot of times we don't get that type of turnout at midterm elections.
No, they don't. That's when they said there's 189% approval from 2020. That's a lot of people coming out before the real election.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
So I think it's gonna be hell when the midterms come in November. I think there's gonna be a lot of people because if they came out to vote these little primary votes for to see who's gonna run for your party, I know they're gonna come out and be like, no, I want mine to win. So there's going to be some more people back out. I think it's going to increase in November. I really do. If they out now. Okay,
yeah.
The next one. President Biden confirmed Sunday that shipments of 70,000 pounds of European baby formula have been dispatched to the United States. It's supposed to come from Zurich, Switzerland, to Plainfield, Indiana. And that's not going to cover everybody in the United States. It's only going to cover some.
Yeah.
I got a question because I was thinking about it the other day when I seen this on the news. Our parents, did they have to have baby formula for us?
Cairo syrup, carnation milk, and water. That's all I got.
That's what I thought.
That was your baby formula.
And
you can buy a box of rice cereal as you got older.
They act like it's imperative now.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either because I'm trying to figure out, did they ever... And if they did, I know my mom and dad was like, man, I ain't paying for all that.
I didn't have baby formula. I had Cairo syrup.
We're going to pre-chew these greens up and put them in his mouth.
You better know. Some mashed potatoes or something.
Yeah, I don't. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Because they act like it's life or death now. That one puzzled me, and I'm not a doctor. Don't claim to be.
That part.
And don't know, but I don't think we had to get no baby formula. I don't think so. We might have had some of that from Gerber's, whatever. little medicine stuff. We might have had some of that, but I don't believe we had to have baby formula for us to survive.
Mm-mm.
There's other means. There's got to be other means. Okay, the next one. President Biden said he's taking a hard look into forgiving some federal student loan debt on Thursday, but the amount he is considering is less than $50,000 per borrower. I have a problem with that. The NAACP calls for more than $10,000 in student debt be relieved. Eve, what is the right amount? Should it be all of it, or should it just be a certain amount of it.
It should be all of it, and we shouldn't pay for higher education. That's all I got. That's all I got. Just look, if you take, if you
mean that you're an educator yourself, right?
Correct. We should not, you know, we're one of the few countries that charge our kids, our citizens, to go to college.
Yeah. Agreed. Doubly agreed. Oklahoma, this is my last one. Oklahoma legislator passed ban on abortions after fertilization. They're a little rougher than the Texas bill that's down here.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's, you can face up to 10 years in prison or fines up to $100,000. And the only exception is the life of a pregnant mother in a medical emergency. There's no exception for women who became pregnant through rape or incest. How do you feel about this? We talked about it last week, but we didn't talk about the specific craziness of Oklahoma. How do you feel about this?
It's beyond. I could say so many things, but I'm trying to be a better person. There are no pro-lifers in group homes and orphanages. There are no group homes in the hospitals when women are throwing themselves down the steps and douching with Drano. You know, there are no pro-lifers at these fish hatcheries and butcher clinics. There are no pro-lifers where these women go to, you know, the shaman in the neighborhood and drink these concoctions or poison trying to get rid of these children that they can't have. There are no pro-lifers that are saving these kids once they're born. It's just very disheartening. And I'm upset that the people who are making the decision about whether or not a woman should terminate a pregnancy are past the age of being able to be pregnant. And or, you know, understand the magnitude of what it's like to live in a group home or a foster home or, you know, an orphanage. And the price tag that it's going to cost America is going to, it's going to skyrocket. And it's going to force people to, it's just going to force people, it's going to force women to draw that line in the sand. I'll do 5 to 10 years in jail as long as I'm not having this child that I don't want. You know what I'm saying? You know, 5 to 10 years in jail versus
it's going to put me back 8 years if I have this kid.
Mm-hmm. At least.
I think it's a war on women, and it's unfair. I don't think it's right. George Carlin said they only care about you as long as you're a fetus, but once you're born, they don't care about you.
Correct.
Pro-life, my foot. That's all I got, E. That's all I got. I hope you have a productive week.
Thanks, T. It's rough out here.
And you need to hit me up whenever you're unbusy, which is never.
Well, you know, the end of the school year is coming, so I have a little more flexibility in my time.
Yeah,
that's 6 weeks.
June.
The last day of school is June 10th. And then our first day of class is July 25th.
You mean back on the grind or summer
mm-hmm.
school?
Mm-mm.
Which one, summer
you
school?
Know, we're on, no, that's the first day of the school year, July 25th. We only have a 6-week break for summer.
I almost cussed it. I'm going to tell you right
I
now.
Know,
look here.
The students have
if
a
I was,
break,
I'm glad
we
I went to school when I went to school. We waited till Jerry Lewis came on. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that's the sounder to tell us this is the end of the show. Thank you again, E, for calling. I'll talk to you
no
next
worries.
Week.
No worries. Try to have a fabulous week.
You too, and be safe.
Thank you. Peace and love, everybody.